All right, let's get after it, shall we? It is time to dive into Beyond Sunday School. We are continuing our conversation on God's Big Picture, Tracing the Storyline of the Bible by Vaughn Roberts. I will have a link to that in the show notes, and I hope that's helpful to you. You can get it cheap on the Amazons. It's just a great overview, and I highly recommend you checking it out. We are coming to the end, though, of the Beyond Sunday School series, and so next Thursday will be the last installment. And then we'll go back to one podcast a week for a while and, see where that takes us. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you subscribe to danielmrose.com. Also want to encourage you to go ahead and share and rate this podcast. That is probably the most helpful thing you can do wherever you listen to podcasts. Please make sure that you rate us and maybe even leave a comment. That would be super cool. So any of those kinds of things help the podcast surface. It helps those services encourage other people to subscribe to the Love Well podcast. So please do that. That would mean a lot to me. Also, wanted to let you know that as we look towards the new year, I'm going to be lighting up subscriptions to danielmrose.com. It's a way for me to, continue doing this work, and not a huge cost to you, but for those that want to try to support the work, that would be great. What I would love, though, is for you to let me know what kind of subscriber content would be a value add to you. So what kind of stuff would you like to get because you are a paid subscriber? I would love to know. I'd love to know what kind of stuff would be helpful, what kind of stuff that you would find beneficial for $5 a month. Right? Because that's what we're going to go with. So please let me know. And, hit me up anywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, wherever it is that we are connected. I would love to hear from you. So this week, where are we at here? We are tracing the storyline of the Bible through the kingdom of God. And this started with the pattern of the kingdom. And this is, we're looking at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Then we looked at the perished kingdom, Genesis chapter 3. And then the promised kingdom, which really kind of took us through some of the story of Abraham and the promises that God made to him. Then the partial kingdom, which took us through the coming of the monarchy, Abraham's family story and up to David and through, in and through the kings. Then we had the prophesied kingdom. We looked at the prophets and the fall of the monarchy. And then last week we talked about the present kingdom. And this is the reality of Jesus's coming, right? Which is very timely as we, did some good Advent stuff there, right? But now here we are in this second to last, the penultimate kingdom, which is the proclaimed kingdom. So this bit of the kingdom, this way of understanding things is where we're at right now. Jesus has ascended. And so where are we? What is going on? What is our responsibility? What is our role here? We are writing the final chapter. This period of time that we live in, this time of waiting, this time between the comings of Christ, between Christmas and the second coming, the closing of all things. The eschaton, right? That's the fancy word, which is just the word for the end of things, the culmination. We're waiting. we're waiting for Christ to return. So what's our responsibility right here, right now? Well, our responsibility, quite simply, is to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. That is our responsibility. That's what we're here to do. We are here to proclaim Jesus's excellencies. And we hear that, we learn that in 1 Peter. That's he lays that out for us. And, you know, some of us may think, oh, I don't want to do that. That's not who I am, right? I'm not that kind of person. I'm not out there. I'm not going to go out there and do evangelism. Ugh. I mean, even saying that word, right? Evangelism, it sounds awful. And makes your palms sweat and makes your heart rate go up a little bit because none of us like that word. And nobody likes the idea of going out and selling Jesus. And I got to tell you guys, that is not what we are talking about here. There is no, when we look at the New Testament, when we look at what it is that the people of God are called to do here in this time between, in this last chapter, in these last days, we're not supposed to go out and sell Jesus. That's not what proclaiming the kingdom is all about. It's just not. And too many churches have fallen into the idea of thinking that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so they create slick marketing campaigns and they do all kinds of stuff. They hire marketing agents and all these things to try to sell Jesus. Guys, that's not it. It ain't about selling Jesus. That is not what we are called to do. No, we are called to proclaim Jesus' excellencies. We are called to tell, to show the world by our lives what it looks like to live out a subversive, gracious love. You see, early on in the history of the church, it was called the Way. And that's because the people who were following Jesus were living out his way. They were living out a way of self-sacrifice. They were living out a way, what I call subversive, gracious love. That is, they were putting other people before themselves. They were living in such a way that they were seeking the flourishing of their neighbor. They were seeking the flourishing of their enemy. They wanted the people around them to live in shalom, wholeness of life, peace. They wanted their neighbors and their enemies to live in the fullness of their humanity, to live out the reality and the fullness of the image of God that is in each of us. That's what the early church wanted. They were living this way. Were they talking about it? Yeah, because part of living is talking. Part of demonstrating our lives is talking about our lives. They were honest. They were true. They were authentic. They weren't having fake, false relationships with the idea of just trying to convert somebody. Now, that's what salesmen do, right? I come from a family of salesmen. I'm not saying anything bad about salesmen. To be a good salesman, I think means that you move beyond the inauthenticity, the fakeness. The earnest salesman is the one to beware. The authentic salesman is the one to embrace. You know, that's one of the things I learned from my dad, who is one of the greatest salesmen that I've ever known. He wasn't fake. He was true to his word. He was honest. And he dealt with people with authenticity and integrity. And, you know, he saw himself as an advisor more than a salesman. He wanted to advise people to make good decisions because he knew that if he did that, in the long run, they would be lifelong customers. Now, how does all that translate into proclaiming the kingdom? Well, because our lives have two components, right? They have what we talk about and how we live. And to proclaim the kingdom of God is to speak and act in such a way that points people to the excellencies of Jesus. Our lives, the way we live, should reflect Jesus's excellency. Our words should explain our actions. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Our words should explain our actions. Too many times, our words are trying to explain away our actions. We're trying to explain, well, we did this thing because, and then we try to make an excuse. No, the scriptures tell us that we should have an answer for the hope that we have. Well, how are people going to know that we have a hope? Well, it's because they look at our lives and they see us living differently. So how do we live differently? What is the way in which that we are able to live a different kind of life? Well, we live a different kind of life because the Holy Spirit lives in each of us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he conquered sin and death. And in this world that we live in now, in this time between, in these last days, as we are waiting for the perfected kingdom, and we're going to talk about that next week, but as we're waiting for that time, our lives are being transformed. Our lives are being made to look more like Christ, right? Not being made to look more like a first century Jewish guy. That's not what I'm saying. Our lives are looking more and more like the way that Jesus lived. Our lives are looking more and more like the quality of Jesus's life. And we do that because we have now been freed from the power of sin. Right? The presence of sin is still here. The penalty of sin has been dealt with on the cross. The power of sin has been dealt with on the cross. So now we just deal with the presence of sin, the reality of a sin sickness in our world. And so we have to deal with that, but we're equipped to deal with that because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Because we are able now to choose to not give in to the power of the sin sickness that is in our lives. Because that power has been broken. It was broken on the cross through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, is alive and well and present in this world. And he is, and it is at work in us, in the people of God. I want you to think about this for a minute. Those who say they're following the way of Jesus have been given the Holy Spirit to help them live that way. Now, what is true about every person? What is true about every person is that we have the image of God in us. And then you have the Spirit of God who then comes and lives in those who are trying to follow the way. What is happening there? What is happening there is that the Spirit of God is at work clearing even more of our image up, right? Our image, the image of God in us has been radically tarnished by the sin sickness that we all experience. And so now you have the Spirit of God living in us, cleansing that, cleaning that, making that image shine brighter and brighter and brighter. As we walk on the way, more and more people are going to see the image of God in us. When they see the image of God in us, what are they seeing? They are seeing God. They're reflected back to seeing God. So when people see God in us, when people see that image of God in us, when they see that reflection of the divine in us, what it does is it spreads. It spreads. It impacts them in such a beautiful way. And we all know this, right? You get on social media, you get on Facebook, whatever, and what do you see? You see these stories about good and beautiful things happening. People, who will go through a drive-thru and will buy for the person behind them, and then the person that they bought for will buy, and it will go on for a long period of time like that. You know, it's beautiful, because just like sin sickness is communicable, so is so is the image of God. So is recognizing the image of God in us and in our neighbor and in our enemy. And when we can do that, it infects the people around us. It's beautiful and it's marvelous. And this is what we are called to do. And so you have the Holy Spirit who is at work in us, the Holy Spirit who is shaping us, who is making us more like Christ. And how do we know? Like, what is some evidence that the Spirit is doing in us? Well, we see the fruit of the Spirit. We see this ninefold fruit of the Spirit's work in us displayed in love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, Paul wrote that in his letter to the church at Galatia, and that's from Galatians chapter 5. But what I love is he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This idea here of crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires is really what we in the modern day call the ego. It's the setting aside of our selfish ambition. It is setting aside of our overwhelming desire to dominate, to win, to be better than. It's setting aside this self-aggrandizement that so many of us do, and so many of us are engaged in and are constantly at work doing. Ugh. You know, you start talking about that, we start thinking about that the selfishness, the selfish ambition, the passion desires that we have for our own self. And you kind of go, ugh. And so what is the Spirit of God doing? It's helping us to set aside the ego. It is helping us to engage in community and connection and relationship in deep and abiding ways. It is helping us to reflect back the image of God to a world that so desperately wants to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We hunger for those things in our world. We hunger. And so when we live that way, people say, why? Why do you live that way? Why do you set aside your ego for the good of your neighbor? Why do you set aside your ego for the good of your enemy? What is wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with us. We have a hope. And then it's in that moment that we get to proclaim the hope. We get to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. We get to say, I'm living this way because I'm living away the way of Jesus. I'm living a way that is different. I am living my life in such a way that I am trying to be a shalom maker. I'm trying to be a peacemaker in this world. I want to help my neighbor and my enemy to flourish as humans, as image bearers of the divine. And when we live like that, guys, it catches. It catches. This is the way that we live today. This is how we go about our daily lives in this in-between time, in this final chapter, in this time that we are waiting for the consummation of all things. And that's the proclaimed kingdom. The proclaimed kingdom happens through our lives and then our explanation of our lives to those around us. It's about loving well. Simple. I've just taken 20 minutes to basically say the proclaimed kingdom is the followers of Jesus loving well. Ugh. Yeah, that's it. That's the proclaimed kingdom. Next week we talk about the perfected kingdom and dream a little bit about a vision of what it'll be like to live in the midst of the consummation of all things. All right, guys. Until next time, love well, my friends.